You'll never know the consequences of one kind act that's sincerely given. You'll never know for sure for the person you touch. And maybe it won't come back to you from them. Sometimes people are so busy trying to figure out what they got out of something that they're missing what they're getting. But what about your kids? Come back to my kids. I got all these kids. Oh my God, how do I let them know I love them all? When they're all different people. So I made a plan, just like I'm asking you to do. I said, okay, let's start with Jarek. Jarek's my youngest. He was 4 then. He's 14 now. I looked at that and I said, okay, here's Jarek. Oh my gosh, how do I make this happen? Well, you got a picture, Jarek. Here's this little kid who has a certain identity for his dad. I found out what he thought of me one day when I went to his preschool to pick him up. I walked in and the woman said, oh my God. Oh my God, he was telling the truth. I said, what are you talking about? Someone says, you're the guy. You're the guy on the TV, the helicopter. Yeah. And I said, yeah. She goes, oh my God. She goes, he's been telling everybody, my father's a giant. He lives in a castle and he's flying in a helicopter to pick me up today. So I thought, okay, I got a good picture of how he perceives his dad, right? So then I'm thinking, okay, how do I make him feel totally loved? Well, not the way I would do it. His strategy is different, right? Everybody's different. If you love them, you want to meet it their way. So like, you know, telling him he's loved, that doesn't quite do it. Hugging him, he likes. What he really wants to do is just hang out and do stuff that I don't like to do, right? He wants to go in the back of the yard in the dirt. This is not high on my values list, right? But I know it's what he loves, right? He wants to make up these games. So I go, okay, that's what I'm really going to do. And I'm not only going to do it, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not just going to do it to do it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to find a way to enjoy it in a way that's good. Because he'll notice if I'm not enjoying it, right? So I decided, all right, I just need to become a kid again at a really young kid level, right? So I go out there and we're doing this, and bear in mind, you know what he thinks, I'm a giant, right? So he goes, Dad, here, throw this rock. I said, son, it's a boulder. He goes, Dad, you're a giant, you can throw it. Okay, son. Right? Bear went the back, it's okay, I love my kid, right? So at the end of this day, I say to him, I said, you know what? I said, we need to go to the toy store. He said, why? I said, because you need to have a new toy. He said, you're right. So we go to the toy store, and he and I at the toy store are like, did you ever see the movie Big? That's my son Jarek and I in the toy store, because we go around, I love to play with everything, right? He and I play for an hour and a half before we buy anything. So then we're at the front desk, and I said, okay, look, here's the deal. You've been a good kid, so you can have any one toy, not more than one, any one toy in the whole store. I don't care what the toy is, because you're so good. But only one. So think clearly which one you want. Go get it. I'll wait here. Meanwhile, I've picked out several toys I want to play with that I hope he picks, right? This kid's decisive, man. He's not even gone for 3 minutes. He knew exactly what he wanted. This huge toy store, he knew exactly what he wanted. He comes back, it's behind his back. I said, what'd you get? And he goes, a plastic rake. A rake. I said, son. I said, what's this? He goes, it's a rake, Dad. That way you and I can go out in the front yard and rake for hours and hours. Oh boy, son, wonderful. Right? But you know what's interesting? We went out there, it's what he really wanted. I was crushed. I worked all these years, so I don't have to do that crap anymore, right? So I go out there and we raked for 2 hours, but while we're doing it, we laughed and we joked and we talked about stuff. You know, he and I are leaving after this seminar on Monday. I go to New York, but on Tuesday we fly to Fiji to go to my resort. It's just he and I to spend a week together. So I can just be with him by himself, you know? And we were talking the other day, we went to Aspen, and we were talking about those days, and talking about the rake experience, and he and I laughed about it again. He'll never forget that. I'll never forget that, I can promise you that. But there was this bonding, you know, this magic that happened during that time. It wasn't about raking, it was about being with each other. But it came out of that experience. Now my son Joshua, at the time I think he was like 9, a rake was not gonna do it, right? And so I'd been out of town, so sure enough, I came back into town, and instead of waiting to the end of the day, I thought, you know what, I've been with him with everybody else, but not by himself. So I immediately went to a school, and I checked him out of school in the middle of the day. And he got out, and he said, what's the matter, what's the matter? I said, nothing's the matter. He said, well, why are you taking me out of school in the middle of the day? I said, because it's Joshua's day. He said, what does that mean? I said, we've been with everybody else. I've been gone. We've been together. But I want to be just you and I, one-on-one. Have a great time together. So this is your day. We can do whatever you want for the rest of the day, you and I. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, could we go to the zoo? I said, sure. He said, well, could we go to SeaWorld? I said, sure. He said, could we go miniature golfing? I said, sure. Which one of those you want to do? He said, Dad, you're a possibility guy. All of it. I said, sure. And we had the greatest day. And I remember to this day, you know, he's, you know, as big as I am now, practically. He's a big kid, right? An incredible kid. He's now, what, 19, I guess. And I remember going out there and golfing with this little guy. And we talked about girls, because he was getting interested in girls, what was going on. And we just had this incredible, magical time. We still talk about Joshua days. All right, cool days. And we still do them. We just do them in a different way now, different age. My daughter, Jolie. She and I were the most alike of all the kids. She's outrageous and playful and crazy and passionate and fun, and she's an entertainer. And so, and we love the same music. And she was older, right? She was 14 at the time. And everything was going great. We were like totally bonded. Now, it didn't start that way. The day I married my wife, she cried the entire day. My daughter did, right? So, sure enough, you know, things, I got to figure out how to bond with her. And we bond, everything's wonderful. But as she got a little bit older, she began to change physically. And as she did, she became a young woman. And as she did, suddenly men started showing up at my house and my gun and collection was having to come out on a more regular basis. And everything was going great, except we all of a sudden started having these spirited debates when she became a teenager, right? Really spirited debates. That's a code word for a fight. And so what happened was, because I'd be saying, I don't want you doing this. And one of our biggest challenges was she developed a role model at that time who I didn't think was the ideal role model for a 14-year-old, Madonna. And this was in Madonna's lace days, where she was, you know, mixing her crosses with her lace outfits and so forth. So for some reason, this created a little break in our communication for some reason. And so gradually I realized, man, what does a teenager really want? To know that they're part of your team, to know that you love them, what do teenagers want most? Come on, what do they want? Keys to the car, yeah, that's true, but what else? That's right, respect and independence, right? So I remember Jim Rohn telling me, and I had a friend that also had a very similar experience growing up, where a particular friend of mine anyway was very, very wealthy and I was very poor. And I remember I wanted to go to a concert. I had to earn the money for it. He had to ask for it. And I thought he had it easy. And one night I was at his house when he was asking for it. And his father was an ogre. And his father basically made him beg and grovel for it. And finally, after begging and groveling, he took the money out of his pocket, crumpled the ball, threw it on the ground and said, if you want it that bad, go ahead. And I remember thinking, how disgusting to treat your own kid that way. I think you can learn from what works in life. You can also learn from what doesn't work. So I swore I'd never do that. So I thought, you know what? I know she wants to go. What if you read in the paper and you see your teenager and you know they're going to want to go to a concert. You notice in the paper some, you know, values-driven organization like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins or Poison or, you know, some other value-driven rock group is coming to town. And you're not usually thrilled about the idea of them working out and going to this thing, but you decide instead to do something different. It's Madonna. And so what do? Instead of waiting for them to come beg, you go buy the tickets in advance. And you keep them in your breast pocket, waiting for that inevitable morning when your son or daughter comes to you and says, Dad, would you like some fresh squeezed orange juice? And he said, no, I'm fine, thank you. Well, would you like to have the car washed? No, it's fine. What do you want, Jolie? Well, Dad, there's this concert coming to town. Are you meeting Madonna? Well, yeah. You go, here. You can't even talk. And they said, well, what? He said, you don't have to say anything. Well, but why? Well, don't you want to go? Well, yeah. But why'd you do this? Because I love you. I mean, I know you want to go. We're on the same team. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. We get in a fight. And I love you. And I think your music's great, too. And I said, so, you know, you should go and have a great time. In fact, I've arranged for a car for you, and there's tickets for there, and you and your best friend both. Oh, my God. And then you arrange a car to take them, a limousine, right? Primarily because you want someone to keep an eye on them. But also you want to create a magic moment. There they are with their best friend in the back of a limousine driving to the Madonna concert. Oh, my God. They go there, and the limousine pulls up, and they assume that they're in the far edge reserve seats, right? So they go to that far area, and they hand the tickets to the guy, and the guy goes, oh, you're in the wrong section. Come with me. they walk and 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 they leave this reserve section and they come into Loge. They walk and 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 they leave Loge. They come into the main section, right? Main reserve section. Oh my God. They walk and they walk and they walk. They leave that area. The guy's starting to walk right into the orchestra pit, right? Course eats the whole house. And all of a sudden your daughter or son turns to the guy and says, there must be some mistake. My father bought these tickets. No, keep coming. And they walk 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 till they arrive at the very front row, middle two seats of the entire stadium, where they can sit down, look up, and watch Madonna wiggle. And your daughter's best friend in the whole world turns to her and says, you have the most awesome father on the planet.